Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back again to our next podcast. We have just been having a great time in the book of Joshua.
That's been great. I've loved this study and just seeing how practical it is in our own lives.
Yeah, and one thing I haven't mentioned so far is there's three of you boys. Nathaniel, he's our oldest, and he's actually our favorite. And I'll say that right in front of Caleb.
Wow, that's bold.
It's bold, but he's the only one that has produced grandchildren.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so just anyway, a little incentive there for you. But, you know, we have Nathaniel, and all of our kids have Bible names. Not that you have to name them with Bible names, but we did. But then our next two are Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah.
And I find that's interesting. You know, here we are in the book of Joshua and Caleb. You know, why didn't they name a book of the Bible after you?
You know, I don't know. It's sometimes the heroes become unsung. And
no,
you know,
I just think Joshua's just a little bit better than Caleb.
You could say that. He used to terrorize me about my name because in Hebrew it means bold. But before I could read, they would tell me it means bald. So I grew up my whole life thinking I was going to go bald.
That is hilarious. So Rahab, she lied. But we never really completed that circle last podcast, but you know, she didn't bear false witness. She was obeying the higher power. She was doing what was right for the cause of God. We understand that in every war, there's espionage.
Yep.
You know, in every war that which involves information and false information and double agents and that kind of thing. And so the Bible is not condemning this. Obviously, we want to be people of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the truth here is that the Lord God had been working in the hearts and lives of these people to bring fear upon them, and that God had worked in Rahab's life to convince her that he was the true and living God. And she was acting in concert with that belief. Faith without works is dead. She was acting upon her faith. So what a great example. And as you said, preemptively in the last podcast, Rahab goes on to become an incredible character.
Yes.
in the Bible. And we'll talk about how all that fits in at the end. But today, we kind of ended last time midstream just for sake of time. Rahab's in this conversation with the spies in Joshua chapter 2, and she's hidden them. They're safe. But now she kind of pleads for her life.
Yeah. Now that she has the guards sent away out to search for him, she has this time to talk to them, and she doesn't know how much time she has left or anything. And now we see her plea for her life, really.
Right. So she's concerned that she knows who God is. She knows the armies of Israel are inevitably going to win. She's already attested to that. So now she's concerned about herself, but not just herself.
Yeah. And we see our love for her family, too.
Isn't that just a great illustration of how all of us should be when it comes to salvation? You know, when we've trusted Christ as our Savior, when we know who the true God is, then we ought to have an immediate concern for those around us. You know, we want them to be saved, too. So she goes to these spies in verse 12, "I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." Hey, be good to me. Show me that I've been good to you. And she told them in the ensuing verses, hey, here's how to get out of town. I recommend you go to the mountains, hide there, because they're going to be looking down by the river. Go to the mountains, hide out, and then go. So she's given great advice. But I think she's got a legitimate request here.
Yeah. And in verse 13, her request is that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death.
And so what was the And you know, if you've been in church for a long time, you've probably heard a message about the scarlet cord or the scarlet thread. Yeah. And that comes from this passage, because what they told her was, okay, that's a reasonable request. And so here's the deal. We want you to put a scarlet, red cord outside of your window. So she must have had an apartment that was in the wall.
Yeah.
Or maybe in the inner wall. Maybe not the wall that fell down, obviously, but
yeah.
So one that could be seen. And we will make sure that we tell our army that anybody that's in that room needs to be protected.
Yeah, easily seen. And it's I find it interesting that it's a red cord.
Yeah.
You know, and the way it's draped over, saying, hey, save our house. And then you see with the Israelites in the Passover, hey, put the red, the blood of the lamb across the doorpost.
Yeah, that's good.
And
yeah.
Seeing that. That correlation there.
Well, what did Jesus say? He said, search the scriptures. He told us to a group of religious leaders in John 5. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So what did Jesus say? Jesus said that all of the Bible, even the Old Testament, is an arrow that points to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just like you said, here in Joshua chapter 2, so what's the arrow in Joshua 2 that points to Jesus? That's a great one. The arrow of the scarlet cord, to say salvation is in Christ, you know, that scarlet thread of redemption, everyone that is in him is safe. Yeah. I mean, the imagery is all there.
Wow, it's powerful.
Matter of fact, the other thing I was thinking as you were talking about the Passover is the ark.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to come into the ark to be safe in Noah's day. Come in. Hey, Rahab said, come into this room and you'll be safe. All of it, just a picture of Christ. You know, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not our church that saves us. You know, I happen to be a pastor of a Baptist church, but the Baptist church can't save you.
Yeah.
It's not religion or even some religious duty that saves us, or even our works. Because the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. No, salvation is a matter of coming to the place in our life when we realize that we're sinners. We realize that Jesus Christ is the only way. He said that. I didn't say that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we realize that, and we receive him and him alone as our personal Lord and Savior. And I know that our listenership probably is mostly people that have made that decision, but you might be listening right now, and maybe that was confusing to you up until this point. And maybe now for the first time you're realizing, wow, you know, salvation is not in what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the church that I can attend or things that I've done or even religious deeds that I have performed, but it's in Jesus Christ and him alone. And you might want to whisper a prayer to the Lord sometime soon that says, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've failed you. I believe that you died upon the cross for me, that you rose again. I'm trusting you to come into my life, to become my personal Lord and Savior. It's not the words we say. It's the heart attitude. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, men and women. And so I would just encourage you to make that decision.
Yeah, and speaking from personal experience, I mean, it is the greatest decision you could ever make. You'll never regret that.
Yeah, I don't know how I got off on that rabbit trail, but that's a pretty good. That was a pretty good rabbit to trace.
It was good. Yeah.
So anyway, here we are in Joshua chapter 2, and Rahab has given this advice, or rather, made this request to the men. They've said, "Okay, here's the plan: put that scarlet cord out there, bring your family in, as many as will pack into that room, and when we come, you will have our promise that they will be saved alive." Verse 22, and they went and came unto the mountains and abode there 3 days, just as Rahab had told them. And then the Bible says, oh, I lost my place. Where am I, Caleb?
Middle of 22.
Oh, there we are. Until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So, you know, they got away with it.
Uh-huh.
The last couple of verses of the chapter, they got back to Joshua. They reported back to him all that God had showed them. And can you imagine how excited Joshua must have been?
Yeah. I mean, just to hear this amazing story and going back into his life when, you know, he had to deal with last time he had to give a report, you know, there was 10 men going against, and just to hear two men come back and with the assurance that, hey, this city is ours, you know, and just reaffirming what God told Moses and that what he told him, and knowing that, hey, this promise is coming true. We are going to cross the Jordan. We're going to take this city.
And they could have come back like those 10 spies had 40 years before. They could have come back and said, oh, you know, the walls are so big.
Yeah.
You know, there was all that. We just barely got away with our lives. They could have doomed and gloomed it, but they didn't. You know what they chose to see? They chose to see the reality. The reality is God's been at work. God has been doing a work we cannot do. God's been working in people's hearts. That's where we cannot work. God's got this thing. He protected us. I'm sure he told the whole story about Rahab and her faithfulness. And I am confident that Joshua was as encouraged as a man could be.
Yeah. How could he not be?
How could he not be?
He
was encouraged by God's promise.
Uh-huh.
He was encouraged by the army, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, encouraged by them. But now he's encouraged by God's beginning to show him as he's taking steps forward. Next step, send spies. They come back, God gives encouragement. And isn't that the way the Christian life works?
Yeah, God knows exactly what you need.
And then you make a step, you obey him, and what does he do? He says, okay, good job, make another step.
Yeah.
Make just another step.
That's amazing.
I like what my friend Dr. Sisk taught me. He said, you know, when you leave your house, the headlights don't go all the way to your destination. The headlights of your car, but you still leave your house.
Yep.
Because God shines enough down the road to keep you moving. And what is God doing here in Joshua? He's just giving Joshua little tokens, little assurances that I've got you, Joshua. My word is true. Let's keep moving forward. I love it.
Wow. Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.